All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Toddcast.
Welcome, welcome.
First, I want to thank everybody who came out to Cosplay Karaoke yesterday. Wheel of Death Part 2 was a lot of fun. It was quite awesome to close the show with Dead Man's Party, which I know Cupcake will not be sad to find out.
Oh, she'll be upset about that.
Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time. So yeah, so the next one will be the first Wednesday of October. And the theme is punk, which means cyberpunk slash steampunk slash 80s punk. So it'll be a good time. Come and bring your A games. Other than that, we have a couple things. We're still hiring in Cranberry, so if anyone's interested in coming out to Cranberry and working for the team, that'll be a good time. We have our warehouse sale, second to last one in a couple weeks here. Make sure you come out for that. If you're a Primus or Kohi Cambria, which I am fans of both, you can win two tickets to the show next Thursday, which we have to figure out what we're doing with the show. I assume we're just going to do it earlier in the day. Oh, crap. You're going to be at Waterfront. We'll figure that out. We'll figure it out. anyway, so you can go out to the Pittsburgh Mills, drop your name in the box. When you do that, you get a sweet Amory Wars poster from Boom Studios. And we're drawing the winner on Monday. So make sure you stop out this weekend, drop your name in the hat. It's going to be great. That show looks to be like it's going to be a lot of fun. We also have a couple more shows coming up. Once we get a little more details on those, I will let you know. Let's see here. Butler Anniversary Sale is not this Saturday, but next Saturday. And lots of stuff on sale, 10 to 20% off most of the store. It'll be a good time. Make sure you check out for that. I think that's all we have in news on the store end. So, oh yeah, I want to also thank Grant and Ange for coming out last night and being judges at Cosplay Karaoke. Also, Samurai Jill for being our cosplay judge. Good time. I had a blast as usual. Most people actually spent more money to not sing from the wheel, which was hilarious. But just know
So wasn't
the
that many
song.
perf not as many performances as normal, huh?
Only by like 2 or 3. Like we still ran till like 9:30.
Okay.
It ran 2 hours, a solid 2 hours. Just not as many people spun the wheel. Like it was pretty ha it was like half and half.
Okay.
But for those of you guys who haven't been to a one of our Wheel of Death events, it is we load about 64 songs from the previous season into the hopper, and we basically have a wheel that has 8 options on it. You spin the wheel, that's the song you sing. Some of them are going to be easy, some of them are going to be hard. The worst part. Well, not the worst part, but the part I felt the most sad about, or the most, oh man, he probably shouldn't have spun the wheel. He probably should have paid more. Was somebody who spun the wheel and then got Mr. Blue Sky and didn't know it at all. So he kind of faked it while everybody else sang it. Dan Peckham, from Evil Breakfast Studios was dressed like Mario. He ended up getting VeggieTales his cheeseburger. And he had never heard the song before, so everybody sang it with him. It was really cool. Weirdly, there was a lot of ELO that was done, and what was the other one? There was a lot of Fleetwood Mac that was done randomly,
Yeah.
both by wheel and by choice. It was very interesting. But a lot of fun.
Someone was feeling very 70s nostalgic there.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. But it was a lot of fun. as always, cosplay karaoke is a lot of good, a good freaking time. Something that I'm gonna double check and make sure that right on this. So can't be right. They have to have screwed that date up. So the interesting thing about next year's con is I think for the first time ever, the Pride Parade will be the weekend before the show.
Oh my.
Because they have it listed on their website. They say 2024, but it says May 31st through June 2nd, which is the weekend before our show next year, but it says 2024, not 2025. So I think it's going to be the parade's going to be, I think, on the 31st of May, which means I get to go and enjoy and hang out and watch it and support all my friends as an ally, versus, and I may still have, I may still walk in the parade with banners for the show the next week and hand out flyers and stuff just to do it because I think it's fun. I also think it's good to support everybody in the
It's
community.
always a good time.
Yeah,
It's
it's a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. Anyway, all right, so we're gonna talk about some comics and then we'll talk comic news if there really is any, which I don't really, you said you saw some. I don't really think there's much. Oh, this isn't in stone yet, but sometime this coming month, well, this month now we're in August, we are going to be doing a CBCS submission day at either Waterfront or Mills. I haven't decided that yet, but it's going to be toward the end of the month where you can just come in, drop your stuff off with Cody. He's going to be hanging out for a day at one of the stores. He'll be taking comics, manga, VHS, magazines, and sports cards and non-sports cards like Magic and Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon stuff. I just haven't figured out which store yet. We're working on times and things like that. I think I'm going to be out of town that weekend. I think I'm going to be in Harrisburg, and Todd will be at West Virginia. So I'm going to be super, like, we're not going to be there, which sucks because I really like to hang out with Cody. It's a good time.
He's a fun dude to hang with, so
Also, if you're in the Cleveland area this weekend, Justin and I will be up in North Olmsted on Sunday for Neo Comic Con. Make sure you guys check that out. Daryl Banks, Tony Isabella, a couple other guys will be there. It's a one-day show. It's gonna be fun. I'm sorry that Marshall is kind of walking around a lot today. He's kind of all over the place. But yeah, we can start some comic reviews and go into stuff, unless you want to talk about something else beforehand.
Not well,
I mean,
not
we're going to do a
really.
spoiler-filled Deadpool review when we're done.
Yeah,
So,
and other San Diego Comic-Con stuff that was brought up as well.
but we can talk about some of that if you want. The only
Okay.
thing I really saw was like the Robert Downey Jr. Doom thing was like the biggest thing I saw coming out of there. Which I don't know how I feel about yet, because if they do Infamous Doom, I'm kind of okay with it, but I'm also like, why didn't they do regular Doom first?
Because they've
So,
done regular Doom like three times, and
no,
they've,
twice.
yeah, twice. Okay.
Because it was the first two Fantastic Fours from the night, well, the early 2000s, and then it was the one from like what 2013, something like that. Like the one that was really short, really not good.
Yeah.
Like the first hour was good, and then Doom showed up and it was god awful from the end.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Other than that though, like I didn't really see anything that I was super excited about coming out of there. So if you saw stuff that you thought was good, you can totally talk about it, but
I was gonna say, I know the Robert Downey Jr. thing was the big thing. I know they did do more for the Captain America Red Hulk
Brave New World.
stuff. So, yeah, so that they really poured into that. I know they had a nice little Deadpool Wolverine thing there too. From what I
They showed off
heard,
that they showed off the cast of Fantastic Four too, but that
yeah. They did DCN. I guess it was lackluster from what people were saying. So, I'm kind of disappointed. I expected better out of James Gunn. If he's going to save the DC universe, San Diego Comic-Con would be a good place to start. But,
One would think, but no.
yeah, one would think you'd kind of razzle dazzle a little bit there,
I mean,
but
unless they didn't have anything really prepared yet, because I don't think that movie's coming out until after until 26.
yeah,
So
well, no, they did. What did they? They did come out with something, and I forget. It was something people weren't expecting. I can't think of it
well, I
offhand.
know
I'd have to
they
look it up.
announced Supergirl, which was interesting.
Yeah, I actually have to look up exactly what the some of the. Hold on
Are
here.
you just looking up like San Diego Comic-Con big announcements here?
Well, for DC, yeah. Because at Marvel, it's easy because the people are still posting all the stuff about that. This was more. Oh, Creature Commandos. They're coming out with a Creature Commando movie, which okay. I'm kind of reading that. That sounds pretty cool. They're getting ready to do what was it? Yeah, they pushed a lot of their the absolute power stuff. Kite Man apparently was a big thing there, which I watched that and God, does it suck? They did talk about the Penguin. The Penguin seems to be something that people are
Oh
excited
yeah.
for. So
Oh yes,
cool.
DC is also bringing back the old Bullet logo, which is kind of interesting.
I don't mind that. I actually kind of like that logo.
I
That's
do
like one of my
too.
favorite Lego,
I think it's iconic, right?
Yeah.
It's very much like the Marvel block. It's
Yeah.
iconic.
Yeah, just reading over the quickie of what was going on here, that's basically what they did. Oh, a new Batman cartoon came out for Prime, apparently, that they were pushing. Batman Caped
Yeah, I saw it.
Crusader. So I will have to watch that after this is done just to see what it's about. So I'm kind of cool with that. It seems a little bit more gr very Dark Knight Rises type, like very gritty. So I'm down with a gritty cartoon of Batman. Of course, what else, how many other gritty Batman cartoons are there though? So
Oh, also Dark Horse is taking over Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons comics, which is interesting.
boom, let it go. Surprised.
See. Gail Simone writing the new James Bond series, which is with an announcement. Oni Press redoing the EC line, but we already knew that. AWA is doing a campaign for a new graphic novel by Ronda Rousey. Like that's of the
Okay.
publisher news. That was the big publisher news.
Yeah.
Let's see.
But
Something else.
just say that the Marvel came back to San Diego Comic Con with a bang. I'll say that much. They really, what? Because the last 2, 3 years, they have been like not showing up for San Diego Comic Con. So it's nice to see them back to their roots of what got the MCU so huge was their big announcements on San Diego.
Right. I mean,
So I don't know.
the only thing I saw that really came out of San Diego was a ton of people with COVID. So
Because, guys, it didn't go away. It's a virus. It's,
Yeah, I mean, trying to think if there was anything else. Oh, that they're trying to do a Doctor Who Star Trek crossover. That's kind of cool.
They said that panel did not go well, though.
I was gonna say, like, Kraven the Hunter even come out yet? Isn't that this year?
No, this year.
Oh, okay. I
And I think
know.
it's supposed to be
I know
after
it's supposed to
Venom
be
or
the end of the year.
something.
Yeah. So
So it's
we'll see.
Venom first, then Kraven. So we'll
Yeah,
see.
we'll see. All right. Well, I guess we can talk comics considering San Diego was a little bit slower than normal this year. Oh, see who's first. Whoops, that's not that. Whoops. Sorry. That's what I wanted. Boom! My first book.
There you go. I was half tempted to
Run
read this
DMC.
myself.
So what I will say is this book is it's by like Rock and Roll Biographies, like that's like the company that puts it out. And it's always very quick and to the point, black and white. And this book, like, while it was definitely not as in-depth as like Hip Hop Family Tree, it covers like a quick overview of Run DMC's beginnings up to where they hit big, and then they kind of stop at that point. It is kind of cool seeing them how, like, they were working with Grand Master Flash, and then like how they decided they wanted to kind of be like they wanted to infuse rock and roll into it. Which I always thought was cool that they did that. They did like King of Rock, stuff like that. And then it ends with them working with Aerosmith, which then, kicks into all of these bands that kind of did like rap rock, like Korn and Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park. I thought it was a good book. Like, it was fun to kind of like read that real quick. And if you're a fan of Run DMC, it's kind of like a, oh yeah, I forgot about that a little bit. But it doesn't get super in depth. It's very surface info. But it was quick, easy to the point. I really enjoyed just kind of reminiscing in that a little bit, because I remember, watching Walk This Way and Christmas in Hollis, like all that stuff, like on
That was
MTV.
definitely one of
And
those early MTV videos for you youngins out there that don't know what MTV was before the reality television set in. They actually played videos of
so today
music
is
for music musicians.
MTV's 43rd birthday, right? And I saw this awesome meme, and it just said, "MTV turned 43 today. Happy birthday! Thank you for 14 years of music."
It's about right.
And I was like,
I'd
yeah, that's about right. Like
get
95,
closer to
96.
20 because they were still doing videos and music stuff when they started doing the reality stuff. And then
I would say maybe 16 years at max of just music. Because then around like the latter half of the 90s, they started doing Real World and then Jackass. And then stuff like that, and it just started rolling into reality TV. But I mean, we had cool stuff like Beavis and Butthead and Aeon Flux and Real World is actually, I think, still going on today, which is great. And we had a lot of cool guys that were on Real World, including writer Judd Winnick, who worked on Batman, came out of that. It was a lot of fun. I like MTV. But anyway, I give this book man, I give this like a it's gonna sound bad, but it's really not that bad. But it's like convenience store breakfast sandwich, right? Because like you got to get it and be on the go because you got to be on the street. You got to do your thing. So
That
that's
sounds
the
so
way I look at it. It is. It
ghetto.
is. It is. I mean, I am not gonna make the drink a 40, but I would make the drink probably just like an orange juice, like a Simply, like something you'd buy in the convenience store.
Okay.
But it was a good time. I liked it. The art was pretty good. It's all black and white inside. I liked it. It's okay.
There we go. I saw this and I'm like, do I dare? And I decided to dare because this has to be the absolute goofiest, and I mean that pun intended, version to tell the tale of Wolverine. And oh God, this is oh. And this is not for the serious Wolverine person, but if you have a sense of humor, buy the book. It's silly, it's goofy, it's all ages. This might get your kid into comic books, okay? This might get your kid into Wolverine, you know? The guest stars, the storylines, because they touch on Old Man Logan's storyline, they touch on Weapon X storyline, and they show Donald Duck in all the outfits too. It's
Yeah.
great. This is a funny comic book. This is humorous. This is meant to be humorous. It's not a serious one. Give me a big old bowl of Lucky Charms with chocolate milk for the milk in it. You know, this is classic Saturday t like Saturday morning TV goofiness.
With extra
Like,
sugar sprinkled over it.
yeah, might as well, you know.
Ah, go for broke, bro. Go for broke.
Yeah, have a Sunny D with your, instead of an orange juice, have a Sunny D with it.
Right.
And if you enjoy like the sheer silliness of how, like all those what the and all the Marvel silliness from the 80s, this is a different, this is just as silly. It's just Disney added its own little thing to it. And I, for everybody who complains about Marvel, Disney, you know, Disney ruining Marvel, this, that, and the other. This is what we hope for of, you know, the silly side and introducing kids to comic books. This is a good thing. So, if you have like a niece, a nephew, young kids, go out and buy this book for them. This is hilarious. I love that you see Goofy as the Hulk.
Oh, really?
Yes, you
That's
see
good.
Mickey as Hawkeye. And it's, yeah, it's just so convoluted. I can't even get into the details of it because it's just all over the place. But it
That's
touches
awesome.
on all the different kind of Wolverine storylines. And the variants for this are great too. The variants for these are
Yeah.
pretty.
When I was trying to figure out which the A cover was, I was like, oh man, these are pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right. Moving along. Saga, it's back with 67. With the J.D. Vance variant cover. I mean, sorry, that was mean. I shouldn't do that. So this picks up where Hazel is now 12. They're in the circus. She's wearing like a dampener so you can't see her horns, so people only think she has wings. And the dolphin on the front is actually it's like a dolphin, but it has actually feet in the background. You can kind of see them on the
It
cover.
looks like frog legs.
Yeah, kind of. So she's kind of in charge of getting this thing to go perform. This book's very kind of catching you up to where they are, right? So that's what she's doing. Her mom is now the new ringmaster and is trying to like get all the clowns to do stuff, like to do what they're supposed to, but the clowns are all also from their planet because they all have wings. And they're like, you didn't even fight in the war. And she shoots the guy with this laser that makes you feel like your most biggest regret comes up. And the dude she shot's like, my dad, please come back, dad. And then the cook kind of hits on her a little bit. And, because Marco's been dead for a long time. And she just doesn't know how to deal with it. The Will and Gwendolyn are still reeling over the death of their daughter from the last volume. And the Will is getting high on heroin to see her, which is weird. And then Prince Robot's kid, he's like watching like VR TV to escape, and he doesn't feel like he fits. Let's see. Then as Hazel goes to do her next round, she sees that a band is rehearsing, and she comes in, and this spider lady is she kind of almost picks up the spider lady's guitar, I think, or she might be the band's manager. And it's hilarious because the spider lady, who doesn't have a name yet, the only word she says is, damn, your haircut is tragic. And it's just really funny to me. But the book's back. It's good. It kind of time hops a little more than the last one did. I give this one like a full 2 eggs, bacon, toast, orange juice. Like it's very right back where you want it. It's very like it's like riding a bike, right? And that's kind of why I like it. So I've been reading this book since it came out, and this book has never disappointed. So yeah, go check out Saga. It's back.
All right, we got the
Did I get the right
thing.
cover this time?
Yes. Now
Okay,
this is Jock too. Jock
yay!
did this cover. So it's this is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, black, white, green. Again, four stories. I'm not gonna get too deep into each one. I did a quickie summary for all of these. There was the first one's called The Beast That Bleeds Green. The turtles track an enemy mutant that's bleeding, mutagen. And apparently, it was basically like a suicide bomber tried to kill the turtles by killing itself, like with a bomb, because Shredder and Baxter Stockman told him to. And this was all the first story was done by Jock. And it's great. Like, the art is beautiful. Like, I have so far in this whole book, in this series, I have not been too disappointed with the art, the various artists in this. The second one is called Sin Sewer. And as you can guess, this was done in very similar style to Sin City. And you see Raph in his detective coat and everything. And the art was done by Riley Rossmo, and they spot on made this look like this was Ninja Turtles Frank Miller Sin City style. It looked really cool. The plot was like something about a bank robbery, with the hot babe trying to seduce the turtle. It's definitely one of those, Sin City type storylines. So they even went the storyline route. It just not looked like Sin City. The storyline was very Sin City-esque. It was very fun. The third one is called Miami Vacation. This was the least favorite style of art that I saw in the book and the series in general. The art was done by Alexis Zierde. This just is them on vacation in Miami. They end up fighting Leatherface, and then somehow Leatherface is like, I'm on vacation too, and I just want to have a good time. And they end up just kind of chilling in Miami. The story didn't make a lot of sense, but again, the art definitely kind of turned me off too. So I was kind of breezing through that one a little bit. And the final one, final story was Green Means Go. The art was by Michael Schelfer. And it was basically the turtles trying to stop Baxter Stockman from robbing a bank. So there's this highway battle with turtles fighting Mouser while April is driving, trying to catch up to Baxter Stockman. It's really nice art, very beautiful, very detailed. Again, love these books. Very awesome. I have to give this something different than pizza every time.
Yes, you will.
Okay. I'm gonna go with something interesting here. Give me a chocolate chip mint protein shake. Okay. Extra on the green to, in the mint to give it some green to it. But this had a lot of, again, this is a fun book. The black and white series for comics have been really fun for me, like what, the last 2 years? They started last year and now they're, continuing. I have a lot of fun with these. It's a lot of fun seeing the artist as well. If you're big into various artists or you want to find new artists, these kind of books definitely introduce you to different styles that you may not be used to. So I highly recommend it. So.
My last book is amazing. So, firstly, I saw the cover for this and I just went, oh, sweet, Super Pets. And then I went, oh, Nightwing Dog, what is your name? Answer, Bitewing. So this is like a little anthology thing. I love when they do these. It's like four or five stories in here. The first one is Babs and Dick are going to like a wedding something, and they need a dog sitter, so they leave him with Ma and Pa Kent, or leave her with Ma and Pa Kent. They don't actually say her name. I think she literally just goes by Bitewing. So like she only has three legs, like she's missing her front leg. So she's three-legged. And because balancing act, Dick Grayson, Bitewing, so she sees Crypto over by the barn, and they bark at each other. He runs over, and inside the barn is the Super Pets headquarters. So Ace is there, dressed like Batman. Crypto has a cape. Jumpa has like a Wonder Woman crown badge is there, even though he's like, I'm not actually a pet, I'm an actual Green Lantern, but whatever. Bat Cow is there, and Gleek is also part of the team, and they have to go and deal with the Orbital Menagerie because Streaky, who also wears a cape, was caught by the menagerie, and she just keeps barking at the like Badge makes like a hollow like a energy version of her, and Badge just keeps or she just keeps barking at it. She's like, oh man, like they're just like, no, dude, it's not really her. Like you gotta calm down. So they dress Bitewing up like Nightwing with like a domino mask and everything, They get into the space station. She shakes it off. And they go hunting for Streaky. They find Streaky. And when they find Streaky, Bitewing finds the actual bad guy and is like trying to like kill him with kindness kind of thing. And they're just like, what are you doing? Like, we need to get out of here. And then all of a sudden the bad guy sees everybody and is like, oh, well, you need to be part of our, or I need to catch you. So then unleashes like a bunch of other animals because he wanted to have all these animals do all these heists for him. So they unleash then everybody else and or all the other animals. So they end up like all beating him up and leaving. And at the end, they're like, hey, you know, you're part of the team now. You know, you can go back to living with your people. And like that way, or Ace puts like a earbud in her and she just like shakes it and it falls out at the end. It's really funny. They drive home. The second one is a Starro one with Jaro, who is one of the Starro little stars. And he's actually having a dream about being a rock star and he dresses like Robin. And because he's a Starro, he becomes like super. Like it kind of takes people's brains over and they chart top and stuff and they become like the most famous band on the planet. Then the third one is all of Damien's pets are getting transported to this lab. So you have, Alfred the cat, Ace, or sorry, Titus, the other bat hound, Hellcat or Bat Cow. Whatever his turkey is named, but he has a turkey. And so they start fighting back against these guys. And then like the big red, like sphinxy cat dude with wings and his dragon come out. And they're all like running back to the bat cave. And, Damian's like, Batman, do you see this? And they're like looking at the news and it's talking about how they're all out. He's like, is that Wiggles and Goliath? Which is the dragon and the big monster thing. And you know, they get through. Oh, Jerry's the turkey. So they talk about how they have to take Jerry to the vet. And Damien's like, I'm sorry, I thought these guys were gonna try to help and blah blah blah. And Bat Cow looks at him all disappointed and he's like, how could you? It's very interesting, but it was a really good little mini. And then the next one is this alien planet where this giant sun creature has come out and Dexter, the Red Lantern cat, just beats the shit out of it. And then the last one is Who Woofs the Woofman, which is Who Watches the Watchmen, right? And it's the Watchmen in like a 4-page story of Ozymandias, Dr. Mastiff Hatton, Silk Saluki, Roughshack, Bird Dog, and the Pomeranian.
Oh, jeez.
So the it's the whole story. Like Pomeranian gets thrown out the window, and they're like, "What the hell?" And then, like eventually, like the Dr. Mastiff Hatton is like, he builds like a house on Mars, but it's like a dog house on Mars, not like the glass palace that he did. Wow. Bird Dog and the Silk, whatever. Like they're like, oh, should we be doing this since John's not here? And like they just show them like kissing and then sniffing butts, like because like they, you know, they have like the sex scene. And then Ozymandias, instead of putting a giant squid in her, puts a giant cat. And Roughshack's like you never compromise, not even at the face of Catmageddon. And he's like, I can never, like, you know, because the Dr. Manhattan guy is like we can't let you go and do stuff. So he pulls down the mask and he's like a pug. He's like, do it. it was very cute, very fun. The main story, the first one there, is actually done by Tony Fleeks. which, you know, we all know he can write for dogs and cats, and it works out really well. I love this though too. Like on the back, it's like all paws, which I thought was cool. So I'm very excited about the book. I thought it was good. So, oh, sorry, I gotta read it. I'm gonna give it. Oh man, I'm gonna give this, since it was kind of fun, but it's also kind of interesting, I'm gonna give it like three different flavor packs of Pop-Tarts and a big glass of milk. Like you got s'mores, you got blueberry, and you got strawberry with frosting.
There you
Like
go.
that's my breakfast for it. I had a lot of
Nice.
fun with it. That's why I put it last book.
All right. We got X-Men, Heir of Apocalypse, number 4. Now, we didn't do 3, so this kind of skipped ahead a little bit. But you finally reach the final four mutants that Apocalypse wants to take over as his heir, which are Cable, Forge, Mirage, and Cypher. And Apocalypse basically talks to each of them. He talks to Cable first. They talk about basically like their history and how Cable can't exist without Apocalypse because his entire being is like basically his world revolves around Apocalypse. So, you know, it's very true. Then he meets up with Forge and he talks about how he is like the idea man, and you know, there he can, you know, help mutant kind like reach another plateau. And but he said, you don't deserve it because of the new he made the neutralizer gun. And he's like, you know, do you deserve a mutant paradise because you made this weapon against your own kind? Then Apocalypse talks to Mirage and he says he sees greatness in her and how she's always overlooked, even by the generation after her. And she just kind of is like, well, I've always been a supportive, supporting others, and that's my role as an X-Man, you know, but don't think that supporting means weak. So then finally Apocalypse talks to Cypher, and Cypher, they discuss how Cypher was always the mediator between Krakoa and the Quiet Council, and how even the Quiet Council would ignore what Krakoa truly was communicating or advising to the council because they got too big for themselves. But how Cypher always stayed true to Krakoa. And as they, you know, as Cypher kind of goes through this traumatic remembrance of Krakoa burning down and everything, and he's on his knees, Apocalypse is realizing it. He may need a heir that is not necessarily brute force strength and maybe is good at diplomacy and delicate lies. There at the rest of the book, all the final ones are all, well, all the ones that didn't make the final four, we're talking about who's going to end up being this heir. Now they got out of their tubes and everything because they reached an agreement that Apocalypse, it, you know, he figured he wants them to meet who this next heir is going to be. Cable and Forge are the first two that get warped into the room where everybody else is, so they obviously didn't get chosen. Then they wait a little bit longer, and finally Mirage gets teleported. So you come to the conclusion that Cypher is chosen. And Cypher is
Really?
now is being reborn and is now known as Revelation. Is now, and his
Interesting.
look is badass. I can't wait to see, like, and then they said, wait, they even said, see more of Revelation in upcoming books. So, this is gonna be interesting. I kind of enjoyed this little series of what happened after Krakoa burned down, and you know, this, that, and the other, and this was really cool. I was really impressed with the writing and the art. It was good as well, and it's a good story. And I
That's
can't
awesome.
wait to see this revelation and see what he has in store for the X-Men in the future. So I'm gonna give this a. Give me a good, what is it? Trying to think of a good thing here. Give me a ham and cheese omelet with some bacon and sausage, and let's do coffee and OJ. Because this gave you a little bit of everything. This will give you something to look forward to in future X-Men books that let's hope they get everything off the right foot post-Krakoa era. So
Cool. All right, now we're going to talk. This is the time where we tell you spoilers inbound.
spoilers,
If
yes.
you don't want to hear about Deadpool and Wolverine, GTFO, we'll see you next week. Sometime next week. Anyway, just make sure you are liking and subscribing and sharing us. Everybody, before you go, make sure you do that. And you know, pick up comics at your local shop, whether it's an NDC or not. All right, now we're gonna talk about Deadpool and Wolverine. Full spoiler time, way more than last week. Even though last week really wasn't a lot of spoilers, a couple little ones, but they were really minor. It was mostly stuff people knew anyway. Okay, so here's so I'm still holding at 3.75 out of 5. Okay. Mostly because while I thought it was a really fun ride and it was super nostalgic and it was cool to see a lot of people, the plot just was not there for me. And like it was a little too like, hey, we're gonna talk about this plot and then we're really not gonna do much about it the whole time until the very end. So it was very it, like the plot was very First Suicide Squad movie vibe to me, where it's kind of like, hey, it's going on in the background over here. But unlike that movie, which the middle part was very fucking boring, this was not. So, you know, so I loved the things I loved were the montage of Wolverines, including comic accurate Wolverine, Age of Apocalypse Wolverine, Brown Suit Wolverine, the Henry Cavill like Dreamcast Wolverine, it's awesome. Age of Apocalypse. There were a couple more in there that I'm missing. Oh, like dude on his bike Wolverine, like that was cool.
Old
I
man
love that he just saw
Logan.
him and he was just like, nope, never mind, we're good. We're
Yeah, there's old man
and Old
Logan.
Man Logan.
Yeah, old man Logan is pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I really like that. I liked all the Deadpool core parts. And as we said last week, Blake Lively played Lady Deadpool, but now we've also confirmed that Kid Pool was their daughter and Baby Pool was their son. Crazy way to bring in the whole family.
Yep. Yeah, why
And
not?
Woody Harrelson was the Wild West one,
Yeah.
which was hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I recognized that twang because he basically did it in his Woody voice from Cheers. Because I'm like, he sounds like Woody from Cheers. And it stuck in my mind for a while there. And I was like, huh, okay.
The nostalgic casts that the cameos, I guess, that I love were
Yeah.
Blade was my favorite one, Pyro, Azazel, Psylocke.
Was that
Yeah, the one who used like the whip, like, 'cause that was, I'm pretty sure that was Olivia Munn.
Psylocke? That didn't look like her, though. Boy, she does not look the
Let me
same.
see if I can find
Well, I
find
saw,
like
what
a
was
full
it?
list.
What's her name from X-Men First Class? The was it the mutant that had the butterfly wings? I forget what her name
Oh,
was.
Angel. Yeah, the shitty angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I call her shitty angel because like the good angel was like Warren Worthington. Like
Yeah.
shitty angel was the one from new the new X-Men from Grant Morrison that I was like, meh. But I thought Emily Corrin did really good with Cassandra Nova.
Yeah.
Matthew McFadden did pretty good with Mr. Paradox, even though I didn't like their whole storyline. Daphne Keane has not aged. She got a little taller. She still looks like she did in Old Man Logan or in Logan as
Yeah.
X-23. Oh, Happy Hogan, seeing him was great. Chris Evans as Johnny Storm blew me away. That was
I did
great.
not see that one coming. I was
Me
like,
either. I was
wow.
like, what? What? Okay.
At first, I thought it was Cap, and then because the way he talked, and I'm like, Cap's in this? Okay. Which Cap? And then when he did Flame On, I'm like, oh. Oh. It's like my reaction was the same as Deadpool's, was like, oh shit. That's not who I was hoping for.
Head pull was Nathan Fillion.
Okay.
Welsh pool was Paul Mullen. Canada pool was Alex. I can't say that last name. That's too crazy. I'm sorry. Toad, seeing Toad was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Other than that, they don't have a
Shout
full
out to
list of
Ray
everybody yet.
Parker.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was cool. But that wasn't Ray Parker though.
Was
According to
it?
this, it was Daniel Mita Ramos.
Huh.
So it wasn't actually Ray
He
Parker.
looked
That's probably why he didn't
exactly like
talk.
Ray Parker
Yeah.
did, though. Damn.
Yeah, he did very good at that.
Yeah.
I was a little sad to not have like the Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead and Yukio and
Were.
Shatterstar like do stuff. Like I
Yeah.
wanted them to do more because they got so shafted in the second movie. But also like so that, I guess this is under where my disappointments are. So there was that. I didn't like the fact that Domino wasn't back because I thought she did really well. I liked that to be
Yeah.
as Domino. I didn't really like the TVA storyline thing. And then I thought this is just me, but I was talking to somebody about this earlier today about how we both kind of thought Gambit was like, I don't want to say it was like a racist take on him because that's not the word I want to use, but it was like a very, wow, you are definitely not Cajun, trying to pretend you're Cajun type thing. And I thought it was kind of offensive to Cajun people.
It's not Cajun aren't it's not they're not a race. It's
Right,
a regional. It's a region.
which is why I'm like that was really bad. And like, and they joke about it, like where they're
Yeah.
like you know, like who's your dialogue coach? Like I feel we're
Yeah.
missing
But I
exposition.
think the point
So
of that though is to show that it's like physically he looked fine. And his moves were fine, like in the fight,
yeah.
but he's never going to be that actor that is good at emulating other speech patterns, and he's not a good talker. He's
He
not.
wouldn't have been able to pull it off for a whole movie.
No.
And but when he does like the deck of cards thing like this, man, did that look cool. Like,
I liked his leg sweep because he did the
yes.
Street Fighter leg sweep. And I
Yes.
was like, how long did it take him to practice that? And I was like, oh, wait a minute. He did the step up. He knows how to dance. He knows he's a physically gifted dude. So, he could have been a body double for Gambit, I guess. But as far as,
Right.
talking, I prefer what's his name from Origins, to be honest.
Oh, Stuart Townsend. Townsend, I liked him actually as Gambit because he was actually kind of believable. But yeah, like I said, overall, the thing I think I liked the most was that we got to see Wolverine be the Wolverine.
Wolverine,
Like we got to see him swear and drink and fucking kill people. And the hood looked
Well,
great.
you got to see
Like,
that in the Wolverine movie.
not as much as we did here. Like, because that we didn't get to see swear that much in that movie. Like this movie, he's dropping F-bombs, like he's and he even talks about like how he's too busy doing other shit all the time, which is like I was like, oh man, that really is Wolverine. But I think it gave because let's face it, the Fox universe was basically the Wolverine universe. And I think it gave credence to that, which is why I gave it such a higher rating. But like I said, I just needed a little bit more plot. And like the fact that it didn't actually do anything for the MCU, like it didn't actually unite it, it didn't actually
No,
bring it in. I mean, Wolverine is now in the universe, but that's it, right?
but
Because that's the only thing we see at the end.
my counter to this is
Sure.
this: it's Deadpool. Why would you expect something serious, something of a huge magnitude from one of the goofiest characters in the Marvel Universe?
Listen,
If you're gonna
if
do that with a character that is more on a serious tone. You don't do that with Deadpool. I'm
right, but
not
here,
shitting on the movie like that point.
right.
You take it what it is. It is, like you said, it is a love letter to Wolverine and Hugh Jackman and his performance over the 20 some odd years he played Wolverine. And it is something, as Wolverine fans, we've been waiting for: the legit costumes. The legit him, like, fighting, like crouch down and swiping, because he didn't do that in the other movies a lot. He did
Right.
more, I'm standing up and I'm just gonna box, and
Yeah. I mean,
it
honestly,
wasn't.
the only thing we didn't get was the fastball special. That was literally it. Like,
Which they could have
but.
used. They could have did that with comic accurate Wolverine easier, which
Yeah. That was
that had
fucking
me
hilarious.
laugh.
Oh my God. That was hilarious.
It was like seeing like Marvel's version of Willow.
Like, I agree with
Where
you
the
on that one.
stools were actually taller than him, and you're like, oh,
Well, the
and
back of the stools, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm like, and this is what, quote, real Wolverine fans wanted. And I'm like, did you want that? I was like,
Right.
how alpha do you feel now, huh? But I'm not wrong. It was like, you have to give a little, take a little, I honestly hope that Henry Cavill, this was his audition, and he will be the future Wolverine. He looked so good, and even like
He's
in
he,
the
but I mean
movie,
he's taller than Hugh Jackman, I think.
no, he's shorter. He's 2 inches
Is
shorter.
he?
Yeah,
Well,
he's just
but he's still pretty freaking tall.
He's six
Well,
foot. He's like
I'll look it
six
up while
foot
you
one or something. He's like six
hold on.
foot, but he's not as he's Hugh Jackman's technically taller, if is what someone was saying.
I'm looking it up while you talk
Yeah,
about your.
but
Wait, Hugh
he
Jackman is
look.
6'2".
Yeah, I think Henry
Oh
Cavill's
wow,
like
he's taller
six
than
foot.
me.
Yeah, but they said Henry Cavill, like, he looked good.
Henry
He
Cavill's
looked.
6'1".
So he's shorter by
One
an
inch
inch.
shorter. They're
So he's
both
still
taller than
shorter.
me, though, by
Yeah,
1 and 2 inches.
But he looked really good.
He
Like,
did.
and even Deadpool, like, was like, say, he's like, oh, you look so good. You look so right. We treat you good here at Marvel. And we're ripping on DC. And I'm like,
Yeah.
I saw this with my wife and or the step daughter and their partner, and they all looked at me. They're like, "What does that mean?" I was like, "He got screwed over by DC." And they're like, "Oh, I'm like yeah." There's a
Yeah.
nice little dig to James Gunn there.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I know you said you too many cameos, but
No,
they
no, no,
could.
no. I was fine with the cameos. It's there weren't enough cameos of specific ones that I would like,
Ah.
you know, like we didn't get, oh fuck, I was talking to some. Oh, we didn't get like an X-Force Wolverine, like where he's like in
Yeah, and the
the gray, the black and
black and
gray.
gray.
And there was another
I
one.
would have liked to have seen like a zombie Marvel zombie Wolverine would have been cool.
Yeah,
That would have
oh,
been
and we didn't
big.
get Hulk Pool. That was the only member of the Hulk or the Deadpool core that I was like, oh man, no Hulk Pool. So,
Yeah, but it,
or and like for me, who's read a hell of a lot of Deadpool, the fact that Hellcow did not make us even a cameo at the very end in the credits, like that would have been a great Stinger credit cameo of. Like, 'cause then everybody like, what the fuck's with this cow with a cape? I hope she's in Blade. We'll just say that. Whatever that actually happened.
But we got to see a lot of iconic Wolverine moments, and I
Yeah.
think of people were, the only other iconic moments you got in Wolverine movies prior to that was him on the train in the Wolverine where he's in that thing with holding it up, which is
Yeah.
from Wolverine number two. I think that's the only one that I can think of off the top of my head.
The
Well,
fact
him
that we
getting
got that
shot
whole
with
section.
all the arrows by the hand.
Yeah.
That's a
Like the fact that
classic.
we got that uncanny cover where he's crucified, like,
Yes.
holy crap. And like I also thought it was hilarious that like the whole right wing was like going nuts. And I'm like, this
Oh.
book's been out for 40 fucking years. Like what?
Again,
What
people who don't
the
read comic
hell, guys?
books don't know this.
Right?
So, again, you show your ignorance in that fact. And that also goes for them going nuts over the fact that he called himself the MCU Messiah or Marvel
At
Messiah,
Marvel Jesus. Yeah,
Marvel
yeah.
Jesus. And
The Marvel Jesus.
I was like, you realize that that was said in February in the commercial during the Super Bowl, and you're bitching about it in August.
Well, these are the
I'm
same
like,
people that don't know the difference between the Last Supper and Bacchus. So,
yeah. So
like,
it's,
whatever.
but
Whatever.
I've saw all the people get trashed on TikTok. These people got put down big time. So, get stupid answers, get stupid prizes? This is the joke. So, but hey, off that subject, I would give it a four. Like you said, it's, yes, we you would like to have had
At
a
least
better
just a little
plot.
bit, yeah. Like
Yeah.
it felt a little too convoluted,
Yeah. But
but
again, you're dealing with Deadpool because he is convoluted. I liked what's her name is Cassandra. She was exactly the way you want her to
Cassandra
be.
Nova, yeah.
Yeah. And the way she'd reach in and it like That's exactly what she did in the comics. It's, we were, that was awesome. I again, if you didn't like the Loki, the TVA stuff, I understand it. But that's what Marvel's doing with the time variant and time travel and stuff. We're gonna have to get used to it. It's just the way it is, but I said overall though, like this is definitely better than Spider-Man to me, in my mind.
I
So
had more
this,
fun with this than I did Spider-Man.
yeah. So I'm gonna say this is the first really good Marvel movie since Endgame.
I think it's definitely up there. But I'm also the guy that I like Eternals a lot.
Yeah.
But I also know who the Eternals were going into the
Yeah.
movie. I like Shang-Chi a lot. Like, that was
I
way up
thought Shang-Chi was
there.
good, but again, I think he was, they didn't introduce him. I felt like they rushed him a little bit, the introduction to him a little bit, I
I don't know.
think.
I thought that movie was probably the best of the post-Endgame movies so far. This is, or it's tied with this. Like, they're very, 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 very close. But those might be my top three for the post Endgame Marvel movies is
I'm not gonna agree with you on the Eternals, but I'm just not. And I don't
well for
like
me
the.
but for me it was awesome, 'cause I love Black Knight. My Avengers growing up, when I first started reading Avengers, had Cersei and Black Knight, and that was the
Yeah.
team, 'cause the original team was the West Coast Avengers at the time. So for me, understanding the
But you
characters was a
didn't
little
actually get to see Black Knight, though. Not
you did
really.
a little bit, but the same kind of dumb the things I didn't like about Eternals were, they're not robots. Like, that
Yeah.
was the part that pissed me off the most about that movie. Other than that, I thought the movie was pretty good. And it was visually gorgeous. I saw that movie in IMAX and it
Yeah.
was amazeballs.
Yeah, I felt like they wasted a lot of money on the special effects for that with no return, very little
Meh.
return.
I mean, Selma Hayek is what, 60 right now, and she still looks like she's 28. So,
58. I think she's 58,
yeah,
something
she's
like
close. I was
that.
gonna say she's close to 60. Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
she's
but geez,
ageless. She is eternal.
she is the vampire. She is that vampire she played in Dust to Dawn.
Yep.
All right. Well, there you have it. That was our spoiler-filled review.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Go watch it. It is fun. Make your own points. Make your own judgments. That's what we always want everybody to do.
Yeah.
And yeah, other than that, we will see you guys next week sometime. We'll probably post about it as soon as we're done talking about this. After we get off the air, we're going to figure it out. All right.
We will
Thank
figure
you
it
guys
out,
so
yeah.
much. And we will see you next week. Make sure when you're buying stuff, support your local comic shop. And if it's us, it's even cooler if you do. But support all of them, because we're not everywhere, but you can shop us online. And just keep it rolling, keep those lights on in all those stores. All right, have a good night, guys. We'll see you later.